on the day of his resurrection. Now these lovely children are going to come up and they're going to sing. And Noah wasn't even singing about himself. I love it. Well, you know, that's not a normal song to sing on Easter. Like I said last week, I'm not normal, so that'll work out real swell. Doing a second part on Noah. Last week, the story of Noah flooded our minds. Sad. Thought I'd say it. And the door of safety was closed by the hand that took the scars for us. It's his hand that closed the door of the ark to keep them safe from the raging waters. Today I'm going to share that same door that God closed to protect and to bring salvation to those inside the ark is the same door that was opened for a new life, which is resurrection life. We walk through the same door as we go into new life. And so I've asked Jaden Pelequin to come up and to read the scripture this morning. We love the young people in our church. Come on up, Jaden. And he's a lovely young man, even if he won't tell you that.
All right. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark. And he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of the heavens had been closed, and the rain had stopped falling from the sky. The water receded steadily from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the water had gone down. And on the 17th day of the 7th month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. The waters continued to recede until the 10th month, and on the first day of the 10th month, the tops of the mountains became visible. After 40 days, Noah opened the window he had made in the ark and sent out a raven, and it kept flying back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground. But the dove could find no place to set its feet because there was water over all the surface of the earth. So it returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out his hand and took the dove and brought it back to himself in the ark. He waited 7 more days and again sent out the dove from the ark. When the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. He waited 7 more days and sent the dove out again, but this time it did not return to him. By the first day of the first month of Noah's 601st year, the water had dried up from the earth. Noah then removed the covering from the ark and saw that the surface of the ground was dry. By the 27th day of the second month, the earth was completely dry. Then God said to Noah, "Come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives."
How many are glad that God can tell time? Amen. He knows when it's time to stay in, and he knows when it's time to come out. See, if there's no resurrection, that'd be like staying in the ark the rest of your life. You know, they had enough food for the time they were in there. And when the time for them to be done had come upon them, had they stayed there, there wouldn't have been enough. God knew that. They had to go out and replenish the earth. They had to go out and do what God had summoned them to do. And so, in this second part, it is Noah. Go forth. Go forth. It's hard to do that in a new situation, isn't it? To go forth. They didn't know what they were going to find out there. I said last week that the reason God didn't put windows around the ark is so that they didn't see people drowning. That's the mercy of God. But don't you know there would have to be enough time for the bodies to just totally be gone so they wouldn't come out and see that? Can you imagine seeing that? I can't. It would put a real damper on your new life, I can tell you that. So one of the great scriptures in this portion, I love the first verse But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals. This is what we call the law of first mention. It's the first time it's mentioned that God remembered. Now, that doesn't mean God forgot anything prior. It just means at this point, the word remember is extremely important. For those of you that are our guests, we do word studies, and so this is to keep people awake, is really what it's for. The Hebrew word zakar, and it means to recall, call to mind, affecting the present thought and action. You know, God doesn't remember just because he's thinking, oh, I remember Noah's still there on the mountain. It's not just an intellectual recall. It's calling to mind to affect his condition and his situation so he can summon them and direct them from the ark. And I want you to note one word that starts this verse, because it precedes, the waters flooded the earth for 150 days, and you thought we had a long winter. Huh? Yeah. But God remembered. You know what but is? Not in your body part. In grammatical, it is this. It is the disjunctive conjunction. It means that whatever preceded it is over, is not the point. What's the point is what comes after the but. God remembered. God didn't remember the flood. He didn't remember the sin. He remembered the people. So like I've said before, gentlemen, if you tell your wife, oh, that was a wonderful meal last night, but what did you do with your hair? Okay, she didn't hear nothing about the meal. She's going to wonder the rest of the day what's wrong with her hair. So always be careful that something good comes before and aft. But anyhow, here, God had blotted everything out from above, from on the earth, and underneath in the oceans, the three parts of the created being. But he did not touch the earth itself. That was still here. I'll explain that a little later. But the judgment had to go above the mountains, the highest tip, because God was going to judge the entire earth. The Bible said, as we talked about last week, every thought of every person was only evil continually. Can you imagine that? That'd be like everyone in this room, plus everyone that ever existed. Total, absolute evil. Horrible. But God remembered Noah and the inhabitants in the ark. He remembered them. Just like he remembered Hannah, he remembered Abraham. He remembered. God doesn't have a memory problem, folks. He remembers and comes to your help at the time you need it. You might have said in your life, God forgot me. I can guarantee you, he doesn't forget anybody. And then the Bible says he caused a wind to pass over the earth. Must have been like the winds we had the other day, except a little bit more volume. Can you imagine the wind that would have blown? Knock that ark right off the mountain if it was too strong. But God, in his delicate balance, keeps it on Ararat until all the waters abate. This word for Passover, abar, means to alienate, to pass over and to bring over. God sent his wind to take the judgment away. The vehicle of the judgment. Do you know how we come into new life in Christ? We give our life to Christ. He forgives us of our sins. We're a new creature. And then we walk in newness of life, resurrection life. You cannot do that unless the wind of the Holy Spirit blows on you. There's not one person in this room or in this world that can understand the grace of God unless the Holy Spirit shows it to you, because it will be foreign to your nature. He has to blow upon us, roll back all the evil of the past, roll back all the despair of life. How many have ever been in a situation where you had such despair you just couldn't even barely breathe? And the Lord comes in and blows it away. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Bible says in the beginning of Genesis, the Spirit of God blew upon the face of the deep. There was only chaos. There was only a void. And God made order out of it. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He brings order to our new life. The Bible says the waters receded. The Hebrew word shakak means it decreased, it abated, it subsided, it appeased, and it ceased. You know who it appeased? God's anger was appeased. His judgment was appeased because his judgment had to come forth for the sin that was on this earth. And this word comes from a primitive root that means to weave. And what that means is that the Lord, when the waters receded, he had woven his hand to take it all out through the weaving, and it would go out. No longer was it contained in a solid form. A weave means there's openings, right? But it's still a strong piece that holds together. And God made it to go away. Now, this didn't all happen in one day. That would be very dangerous. It's like the Old Testament said about when they came into the Promised Land, they came in little by little. Had they gone too quick in, they would have been overcome. So the Lord brings us into new life slowly because it is his wisdom to do so. He said the water stopped from the fountains of the deep. They stopped up. This Hebrew word, sakar, means to stop up, to shut up, and to surrender. I love that. Do you know the fountains of the deep had to surrender to the name of God Almighty? Just like in the New Testament, when Jesus spoke to the sea and it had to quit its raging, the earth and every part of it has to respond to the voice of God Almighty. You know the only people that don't is the people he created in his highest image. We're the only people that don't listen to him. The creation has to listen, and it responded. Then it said the rains, which came from the top, they were withheld. Kala, that means God withheld them back from continuing to pour. How many are glad that God is a restrainer and he doesn't go just by every wit like we would? He knows when to bring it. He knows when to bring it away. He knows all those things. So what did God do? Where did the ark end up? It ended up on Ararat in Turkey. But the most important thing here, the Bible said it rested. It rested. You know that meat that's in your oven? It's going to rest a little bit. It rested. What that means here is the movement was over. Can you imagine being on an ark of that size and you don't even know where you're going? There's no captain. You know that ferry that sunk? The captain wasn't at the helm. He said he had other things to do. I don't think so. But I don't know about you, but we have a captain of the hosts of the army. We have Jesus Christ. And even if things look like they're out of order, they're not. Not when he's in charge. It rested on Ararat. Ruach, or Nuach is the word here. It means to rest. It means to settle down and remain. You know one of the great things about being a believer in Jesus Christ? The Lord allows our spirits to come to a rest from the restlessness of life, the moving about, never feeling quite right, never feeling like I belong, never feeling like God loves me. And we come to a place of peace and rest. How many are grateful for that? Amen. Absolutely. And you know what? He puts it on the top of the mountain so you can tell everybody, God has done a rest in my soul. I no longer have to seek something to find meaning. God sought me, and he gave me new life. The Bible said, Noah looked out, and he saw that the tops of the mountains were uncovered. You know, the first thing, of course, that's going to be uncovered would be the tops of the mountains. Hebrew word for the top here is rosh. It's like Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, the head. It means the first thing that is revealed when we come into new life is the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That ought to be the first thing and the only thing, right? Otherwise, who's in charge? Either us, which is a disaster, or somebody else, which is a different disaster. He's the head. Let's see him first. Well, then the window was open. That window, great thing. In the Hebrew, kalon, but it comes from the word kalal, and it means to pierce. When you put a window in, you have to puncture that wall, don't you? To put a window or a door in there. Guess what the puncture was on that door of safety? Guess what the puncture was so we could see heaven? It was Jesus Christ. It's the same Hebrew word for he was wounded for our transgressions in Isaiah 53. It is because of Good Friday that we have a Resurrection Sunday. And it bursts through for life for each one of us. How do you go forth? Well, here, what Noah did, he sent out the raven first. A raven or a vulture, any kind of animal like that's going to go out and see what kind of stuff is on the ground that they can eat. Because that's their cleanup party. They're going to go and they're going to eat. Why? Because God wants to make sure the land is processed and safe for the people to come out. Now, would the Lord take you from safety into jeopardy? No. He wants to clean it first. Thank God for that. So then finally he sends the dove out a couple times. And the dove, in the Hebrew, this is in the feminine voice. The dove is going to go out and make sure everything is prepared for people to come forward. It's in the feminine voice because who but a woman would go make sure everything was ready? Okay? Now, you gentlemen, we love you dearly, but there's no way you go into your home and ready, get things ready for anybody to come. You find your place at the couch. You have everything ready. That's your preparation. God bless. We know where to find you. But it is probably the lady that will go and do this. The dove. Very important part of Scripture. Do you know who is exemplified through the dove? The Holy Spirit. Remember when Jesus was baptized? Dove came down, the Holy Spirit, and said, "My beloved Son." And this dove is saying, it's time to go forward. You're free to go forward. There could be people in this room that are afraid to go forward in your Christian life, or you're afraid to become a Christian, period. Or you're afraid to trust God for what he wants for you. The Holy Spirit is the one that's going to tell you it's safe to proceed. I've prepared everything for you. And the Bible says, one week later, you know God operates in weeks. Did you know that? He created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. And he operates in weeks. And in another week, that dove comes back. Not with a TV guide, but with an olive leaf. And it tells everybody there's life out there. It may be in small form, but there's life. There's something to eat. There's something to do out there. And they get to look forward to what that might be. So what is the final release to go forward here? Noah removes the covering from the ark. It's on the deck roof. And the Hebrew word mixa means, it comes from the word kasa, meaning to cover. It's the same word to cover the tent of the tabernacle, the furnishings, anything that is holy unto God. And I have another word I didn't put up here. But the door that has to be open, pethach, it means opening doorway and entrance. Again, it's in the side of the ark. Just like woman came from the side of the man. The tomb is on the side of the mountain. Jesus was pierced on the side. Note all the wonderful, wonderful weavings throughout the scripture. The same door that was shut to make them safe is the same door that gave them entrance into new life. Jesus said, "I am the door," and he also said, "I am the resurrection and I am the life." If you stay in the ark, You will be safe from the storm, but you will die in new life. You got to go forward. Now, the waters, when they raised up above the mountains, they took everything off the earth. A judgment was for everything, life, plants, everything. But the judgment didn't bring down the stars, did it? It didn't bring down the celestial host. Didn't bring down the clouds. You know why? Because God was going to replenish the earth. And it was already good what he had created, untouched by sin. But I can guarantee you there's a day coming when those stars are going to fall and they're going to crash right into this earth. Why? Because they're going to make way for the true star of the morning, Jesus Christ, who's coming again. And when the sun does no longer give its shine, it is doing so because the Son of God is the light thereof, and nobody else will do. And when that happens, it won't just be above the mountains, it will be the entire earth that absolutely dissolves under the lordship of Jesus Christ. The Lord sent another ark, and he sent it in the form of Jesus Christ. Only in him are we safe. Only in him can we have new life. And only through him can we enter into resurrection life. And that's really the most important thing. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads for a moment. There's a lot of you here today I don't know. Glad to see you. But I'm going to ask you a question. You're thinking, boy, we missed that flood. We don't have to deal with that one. But I can guarantee you there's a greater storm coming. And it's not just going to affect a part of the earth. It's going to dissolve it totally. Anything you're holding on to in this earth will not stay. You're not going to be able to bring in things to the ark because it's no longer going to be a structure God gave for this purpose. We must come in through the Son of God, the one who gave his life for us, who took the wounds in his side, and who is the resurrection and the life. And if you're here today and you've never made a confession of faith, you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, I can guarantee you, you will not be saved by your works, by your wisdom, by your church affiliation or your parents or anybody else. You can only be saved through Jesus Christ. And if you're here today, just raise up your hand so I can see it, so I know to pray for you. If you want to say today, you know, I don't want to miss being in the safety of the arms of Jesus Christ, because anywhere else is certain doom. If you're here, please raise your hand so I know to pray for you. I don't want to miss anybody. If you're here, you don't have to be a member of this church. You just have to want Jesus. And he's the only one that's going to save you. Any other hands? I don't want to miss anybody. Okay, you may put your hands down. And then if you're here and you'd say, you know, I know Jesus saved me. I know that, but I don't think I'm living in the resurrection life. I think I'm living under fear. I think I'm afraid to go forward. I think I'm just not there yet. But I know God is faithful, and he remembers me today. And he wants me to go forward, and his Holy Spirit will blow back all the things that are in your way if you put your trust in him. And you'd say today, pray for me, because I really want to walk forth in resurrection life. And you're here, you raise your hand so I can pray for you. Okay. Don't want to miss anybody's hands. Make sure I can see them. Okay. Now I'm going to ask you to keep your eyes closed as my sister and I sing a song. Mm-hmm. trusting the blood of God's Son. If its door open wide, there's safety inside. Anybody We want to see you there, right? I'll remember all your faces. You got to be there. We're going to end this service with a great song, Because He Lives. And if when we're singing it, you just want to come up and say, Lord, I'm living for Jesus, go right ahead. The altar's open to do that. But we will close with this.
And down.
Amen. Next week, I'm going to continue the Theophany study when the Hebrew boys go into the fire. God was with them. Okay. Now, who am I going to ask to come up? I'm going to ask Kurt Kunze. Hey, what a thought.
Shouldn't do that to an old man. Basically, the only benediction I know is one I was raised with and have heard for many years. I would share it with you if I can remember it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, go in peace. And remember, be nice to each other out there. Amen.
Amen.